You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Nuclear energy in a war zone. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. Over many weeks and months, Henry and I have watched Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe, under threat of both sides in a combat zone. However, we now turn to remarks by the Director General, the Secretary in charge of the IAEA, the watchdog of the United Nations on nuclear energy, Rafael Grossi, and his conversation with the BBC presenter Stephen Sacher, most recently about the war, but about one particular aspect of it. Henry, a very good evening to you. The quote is from Mr. Grossi. The problem is not nuclear energy. The problem is that they are at war. This is his explanation for why the presenter from the BBC is wrong-headed to drive at the uncertainty of the nuclear powers and how they came to be nuclear powers. Mr. Grossi then goes on to say that there's never been or only one instance of bad actors using nuclear energy power plants as a predicate for nuclear weapons. That is not the case, you tell me. How so? Good evening to you, Henry.
Good evening. Well, there are two parts to the interview, which is quite remarkable. I mean, the host was quite combative, as Hardline has this brand name of British boorishness. But it teased out and was useful what Grossi thinks. And the interview went to the question of, aren't you a missionary or crusader for nuclear power when, in fact, it may be very unsafe, as we see in war zones? And Grossi came back and then said, well, it's not nuclear power's fault. It's the fault of war. Now, this is kind of like gun control. It isn't the guns, it's the criminals. Anyway, I get it. But, you know, it's actually probably a bit of both in the case of nuclear power. And that means that you don't build these things just anywhere after Zaporizhia. You have to be concerned that they're going to get hit and become an object of war that will, you know, perhaps change the tide of major decisions that you need to make to win. So his glib comment that it was, war, not nuclear power that was at issue at the case of Zaporizhia, I think, is a little loose and heavy-handed on the side of, well, we must promote nuclear power. The second point that the interview raised was, well, aren't these things, if you spread them, bomb starter kits? And he was totally dismissive of that. And then he said, history doesn't support that argument. And they've never been used to help prepare for bombs. Now, that is simply not true. Would that it be otherwise? But, you know, we have the case of India, Pakistan, Sweden, all Iraq, Iran, all have used their civil program as a cover for their bomb projects. I could go on with others. Romania, Yugoslavia, Taiwan, South Korea. So that he thinks this and insists this, it goes to a bigger problem, which is if he really thinks that, then he probably doesn't think inspecting these things is really all that necessary. I sure hope he doesn't draw that conclusion.
The war, however, right now has defined the risk of a nuclear power plant in the midst of what we can presume now will be an indefinite conflict between Russia and Ukraine, no matter the happy outcome. And therefore, we now have reason to challenge Ukraine and its At this point, profligate use of nuclear energy. Chernobyl was the 20th century nightmare. Zaporizhia is the threat of a nightmare in the 21st century. You tell me that planning for the future in Ukraine does not include the over-reliance on electric-generating nuclear power. I mention in the course of this interview with the BBC, the Secretary General, Mr. Grossi, said that there is an existential problem, climate change, which now is the get-out-of-jail-free card when you come to challenging nuclear energy in a world of conflict. Does that argument stand up to everyone that climate change now vouchsafes nuclear energy, no matter the risk that you've just identified?
I think it's a very popular argument, very popular with this administration. Very popular, dare I say it, with the critics of this administration for different reasons. And that is, well, if the environmentalists in the past have opposed nuclear power, we culturally, as conservatives or people on the right, have to be in favor of it. And then the folks on the environmental left are saying, well, we are so serious about fighting carbon emissions, we'll even allow... will fund nuclear if we get all the money for all the other things that we want. This is a kind of a cultural consensus at war with simple facts. And some of the simple facts are that, you know, nuclear energy is a very small percentage of what's produced only in the electrical sector. Now, what I think people are doing is conflating the current facts with their aspirations for the future. Well, what if all of the electricity, not 10%, but, you know, 100% of the electricity in the world was powered by, you know, super safe, small, super affordable reactors? Well, you know, what if the sea was made of lemonade? You could drink. Everyone would be able to drink and there'd be no thirst. But it isn't true that that's the case. And we don't know when or even if that will ever be the case. So in the interim, the idea that you would use nuclear power to solve the global warming issue is a bit aspirational, to say the least.
The planning for post-war, does it include challenging the idea that Ukraine is a user of nuclear energy quite in excess of some of its neighbors?
Westinghouse sees Central Europe and even Ukraine as an enormous market to sell existing large reactors, not that dissimilar than the one at Zaporizhia. So I suspect that the Ukrainians, don't have the coal that they used to. They used to have the coal that the Russians took in the east. They don't have, you know, that easy access to oil because it comes through a port and their control of the sea lanes is not given. And so there's a strong draw to nuclear power for those reasons. But that said, after Zaporizhia and Chernobyl, you need to start thinking about how to wean yourself off from doubling down, at least, on nuclear power. I mean, building more targets, really? That doesn't make sense. So they need to put on their thinking caps. So they're an extremely smart group of people. And, there's a lot that can be done also to protect the grid that needs to be done for sure. And the transport sector runs on electricity with regard to the trains. You know, to what extent can that be changed? All of these questions need to be looked at actually now, because things may well go better than we think. I mean, we need to be prepared not only for bad news in a war, we need to be prepared for success. And I think it's not too early to start thinking about this before we lock them in to building exactly the same vulnerable system that they have. Now, maybe they can't do any better. Well, we better know that before we just commit ourselves and them to doing exactly what they've done in the past.
Henry Sikorski, of the Executive Director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. I'm John Bash.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.